troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Bob Garrity. I'm joined with co-host Bill Johnson. The Watchman Weekly is a ministry of the Threshing Floor and can be found at threshingfloor-radio.com and watchmanweekly.com. Tonight, audience, we're going to proceed with a study on escape. I've asked Brother Bill to join me. Good evening, Brother Bill.
Good evening there, Brother Bob. Very pleased to be invited here. I'm very blessed to be invited to be able to share in with you on this.
Always a pleasure, Brother Bill. Always a pleasure, especially on these very difficult texts that we'll be going through. Bill, any thoughts for the audience before we go into the scriptures?
Yeah, we've been spending a lot of time dissecting the Word of God in the King James Bible, and we, you know, sound endlessly like we're pounding the King James Bible, and it is the absolute fact, our true Word of God, in my opinion, and that's where you have to go to prove all things. It is not God. The King James Bible is not going to save you. It can be turned into a two-edged sword like anything else, and it can be utilized for the work of evil as well as it can be for the work of good. And that's the narrow way, though. You fall to the left or fall to the right. You fall to the left by not having the Word of the God. You can fall to the right by having the Word of God and misusing it. And it's, centered around balance and hearing from the Holy Spirit, submitting to the Holy Spirit, and allowing God's will to be spoken through you and into you, and absorbing Christ in you. And, it's much, much more than religion. It's much more than listening to me. It's much more than listening to Bob or Chris. It's much, it's the Holy Spirit in you. The truth is in you. You know, Jesus Christ dwells in you, and you're the temple of the living God.
Very important to understand that, audience. Proper rendering of Scripture through all of our studies. We found that the King James Version Bible has been infallible in all of our studies from Genesis to Revelation. And the other versions are diminished. They're diminished to reduce the capacity of you, audience, to get the proper rendering of Scriptures. But this was done specifically by the Lord. He uses vessels of wrath. And we're going to cover being born for such a time as this and how you, audience, are to escape all of these things. And you cannot even begin unless you study yourself approved. And the mystery of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul tells us, is to read this gospel. Bill?
Right. You study to show thyself approved. renew your mind with the washing of the word. It reminds me of a story in Scripture. It's in Luke chapter 4, and it's in Matthew chapter 4. And Luke, like I have mentioned on one of my shows, is the, you know, one of the primary focuses on the book of Luke is Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. And the Son of Man needed to be tempted and tested. And what I found was when he was at the baptism with John the Baptist, and the fullness of the Holy Spirit had come upon him like a dove. And, the Lord said, this is my Son of whom I am well pleased. Or God said, this is my Son of whom I am well pleased. And from that point, when Jesus was being baptized, the first mention of anything of him speaking comes in the wilderness when he's being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Because it says the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And it's probably most articulated fully in the book of Luke, and it's pretty full in the book of Matthew. The book of Mark just uses a couple of verses, and to get the whole story, you need the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. But the first thing that comes out of Jesus' mouth after he was baptized is, it is written.
And we can agree, audience, that nothing out of the Middle East except the gospel is the truth. On one level, if you unplug from all of these fleshly understandings, and you turn to the gospel, and you begin studying yourself approved, this tale is outlaid for you. But it'll astonish you. You'll be amazed how far the truth of Scripture correlates to this generation. And when we look at that, we want to explain the astonishment of the doctrine of the gospel. And we're told in Deuteronomy, the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And audience, the key word in looking at this astonishment is that it's an amazement. But it's also a very key phrase in Scripture, because it, in the Hebrew, it equates to desolate. So when you see these things and you witness these things, you'll be astonished, but you're recognizing a desolation. Okay, you'll be stunned. It's to devastate. It's to make amazed. Be astounded. Astonish. Bring into, and then it's on the other side of the plumb line, it's desolate. Desolation places, be destitute, destroy self, lay, lie, make waste, wander.
Can I comment there for a second, Bob?
Absolutely, Brother Bill.
I may be wrong on this, but something just came to mind as you were speaking there. When this doctrine is so powerful and so astonishing that when it comes into you, it does lay desolate the house that you were in.
You are the holy temple, audience.
And the truth comes in and will lay the lie desolate. And I'm seeing it from that perspective, actually. And, you know, I may be wrong there, but that was what came to my mind when you were going through those definitions.
Well, I agree with you, Bill, and our own experience tells us that we could go back to Matthew 13:33, the leavening of the Pharisees. Beware of the leavening of the Pharisees, and a woman hid three measures of leaven, and she leavened the whole lump. An audience, on a very plain analogy, you know, it's as plain as if the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Right.
That metaphor is the church.
And Jesus kind of left the church as desolate there, didn't he? He was speaking so powerful and his doctrine was so powerful that the multitudes kind of followed him around in large, large groups. And the churches were starting to be left desolate. And they didn't like that.
And therein lies their power.
Or the synagogues at that time, they were known as synagogues.
Yes. And audience, the churches will not see this. Unlike the generations after post-cross, where the apostles and the early Christians spread out, they were mingled and leavened. But the word has been true. And as we proceed to bring you the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture, this word gives a proper rendering for the events that are happening in our life right now. So we ask you, in all astonishment, to take a minute to understand what we're conveying to you in this study. As this study is for you to escape these things. So we're going to outlay the scripture to tell a tale that you wouldn't believe, though it's happening to you now. And the proper rendering of Deuteronomy 28:28 is that it is the Lord who smites thee with madness. And this madness is craziness, furiously madness. And blindness. And we'll recount the scripture of the blind man that was able to see. And the proper rendering of that is when he was taken in front of the Pharisees. And now we're going to equate the Pharisees to your preachers. And it doesn't matter if you're a Muslim or a Mormon, a Catholic, or a one of 17,000 denominations. Okay, we're telling you to unplug from all that so that you can be amazed because you're influenced in your mind through false doctrine. Bill?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm just looking at Deuteronomy 28 now, right? The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart.
And this blindness that was shown in the scriptures through our Lord's example is that when he healed the blind man, the blind man was brought into the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were trying to, because they were losing power, these people Bill were talking about, all the multitudes of people came following Jesus. And when Jesus points to them and points out that, hey, you're serpents and scorpions, you're a generation of vipers, and you're not of your father Abraham, you know, the people are listening to Jesus. Okay, and they're not following after the Pharisees anymore. They're just following after Jesus.
Right. He's leaving their house more and more desolate. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 22, it's either 21 or 22, and I haven't done my second part on that. I want to finish that study up. But, you know, that was one of the reasons why they came at him with, first they came at him with the disciples of the Pharisees along with the Herodians. And that didn't work. So then they came with their lawyers, and that didn't work. And then they came, whatever. See, and they were trying to diminish this doctrine in front of the multitudes. So the multitudes were right there present. And they're going, well, if we can make this guy look like a fool, or we can trap him in his speech. That's what it says. They were trying to trap him in his talk. So they were trying to confound him in his speech, confound his words, because he was looking too marvelous to the multitudes. The people were totally astonished by his doctrine. So they figure, well, we can confound him in his speech, and then the multitudes will see that this man is not the great wonder that they think he is.
Again, acting, they were lying in wait for him, audience, which is a sign of a cunning. They were a cunning hunter. When we're told to be wise as serpent and gentle as doves, we have to understand what that cunning is, and we'll cover that in this study. When we turn and look at the rest of this scripture, we come to the heart part. And this is the most important thing, audience, in terms of understanding spiritual things. You are a circumcised Jew of the heart. and not of the flesh. And we want you to unplug from wherever you've learned, from whatever doctrine that's been cast in front of you. We want you to relearn these things through the Scripture and study yourself approved. Because right now, this madness is every leaven teaching of the gospel for a fleshly agenda.
Everything is fleshly, yes.
Everything is fleshly, audience. And this was told to us through Scripture. We'll cover this also in this study. Because to escape all of these things, you have to know about all these things scripturally.
I might add also that the reason that it has to be spoken of fleshly, the purpose, I think, of the, you know, we know that Satan uses the flesh as a great weapon. That's his magnet to draw you to him, because we all have weaknesses in the flesh. That's why, you know, Jesus had to be tested as Son of Man to overcome these same weaknesses. And, you know, Jesus, as being Son of Man, overcame these weaknesses because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, and we try to become as filled with the Holy Spirit as we can. And God is the one that overcomes the weaknesses in us. But the flesh is a magnet for flatteries. That's why they focus on the flesh, because when you flatterize, it flatterizes the flesh, whether it be the dopamine from the carnal mind or whether it be the eye-catching big diamond ring on your hand or the new shiny Cadillac. Well, they used to have big Cadillac. I don't know if you can buy a big, nice Cadillac anymore, but there was a time, I remember, I had one, and I was so proud of it. I was out there waxing it all the time, and
the pride of a man.
Walking around it, you know, and look what I have. And this is because I'm a successful gambler in the world, and you know, I've got diamond rings, and that's where the flattering comes. The flatter is through the flesh.
And we're told, audience, this fleshly manifestation was told that everybody would be self-centered, selfish. There is no love of the brother, love of the neighbor.
Yes, 2 Timothy 3, I believe.
And you don't have to go far to see how corrupted in this world is now. You know, the mainstream media and the alternative media are not going to predict and tell you about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That you have to understand. And right now, if you're not in the gospel,
it's against their best interest. It's not in their best interest. Certainly, it's in their best spiritual interest, yes, but it's not in their flesh interest. And they're dominated and ruled by the flesh. So the flesh prohibits them from giving you the truth.
And you have to, audience, this is the truth. This is a scriptural truth. They will not give you the truth. They'll give you a part, and that part is meant for you to move in a way that is likened unto being a calf in the stall. You're led by the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the parallel scripture is that you, who are studying yourself approved, are a calf in the stall, but you're being led by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is revealing these scriptures to you to prepare you to do the Lord's will, not the flesh will. Bill?
Absolutely. You know, you were speaking about Jews the other day, a few minutes ago, and the fleshly is we're spiritual Jews. And if you're not a spiritual Jew, you're a spiritual child of Satan. There's really not anything else. You know, it's Esau and Edom. And the reason it's Jewish, actually, Jesus was supposed to be born of a Reubenite. Reuben had the title to the birthright. He was the firstborn son of Jacob. And, of course, he lost his birthright. Simeon lost it. Levi lost it. And finally, Judah obtained that. So Jesus came at the blessing of Jacob to the 12 children, and Ephraim and Manasseh, that scepter blessing and the birthright seed blessing went through the tribe of Judah. Then thus Jesus was born as a Jew, the last real Jew to have, and when you're talking about a spiritual appointed Jew, was Heli. Before Jesus was born, he was the last physical man all the way from Adam to be an appointed seed for to bring forth the daughter, the woman that would have the man child. And we've said so many times, and it's such a big, I mean, I can't say it enough, that Heli had no sons.
And audience, when you look at this as perfect work of the Lord, that he would end the fleshly seed with his son, and tells us throughout scriptures, okay, the Old Covenant scriptures, you follow those genealogies because there's nothing going to corrupt those. That's my tale to you, my sons and daughters. That's my tale of your generations. Now, post-cross, do not listen to Jewish fables or genealogies. So you have to understand that, audience. Old Testament genealogies leads to our Lord Jesus Christ and fulfills all prophecies of Scripture. Post-cross is spiritual. Very spiritual. And as we proceed in this study, we're going to ask that you listen intently to understanding the truth of gospel and realize that the Lord Jesus Christ laid the foundational stone for this teaching, and that it was built on the apostles' teaching. Now, outside of the apostles' teaching in this gospel that we're preaching to you, is a mingling that will not give you the proper rendering of Scripture. So if you're trying to drill down on Scripture with a new international version or this international or this fleshly Bible that's copyrighted from your preacher's outline from his corporate entity that's sending down the notes, and stop.
Can I interject there one second too, Bob, on that? The main focus of these new Bibles, we know that they change a lot of things in them. Can you still find a large part of the truth? Yes, I believe so. We've known brothers that have. But what really disturbs me about these new Bibles, I mean, it really disturbs me. It disturbs my heart inside. And that's that they are removing, their plan is to completely diminish the deity of Jesus Christ.
And that's the enemy, audience. That is the enemy of you. Anyone that seeks to diminish the finished works of the cross is the enemy. And what we're telling you is that our Lord Jesus Christ, who did he sup with? Sinners. He didn't hang with the Pharisees and the scribes.
That's right. And these big shot lawyers came in, or whoever they were, with their suits and their Mercedes were valet parked, and they come in and they said, "Oh, you're going to eat with these people that don't even wash their hands?" And Jesus tells them, you know, it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him; it's what comes out of his mouth that defiles him. And these people's hands were cleansed, and their cups were clean on the outside, and their sepulchers were whited. But what was coming out of them was pure poison of a viper.
Death and dry bones.
Yeah.
And now how do we equate that, audience? It's your white picket fence. Everything's good on the outside.
That's where you get your white chapels from England, you know, the white horse. It even comes from there.
Yes.
This was the, you know, the rival to the Catholic Church. We'll make white chapels and put we'll put obelisks on them, though, and pagan bells.
All mingled.
But we'll paint them white, and surely they'll be of God.
And you have to go no further than to drive down any street in your town, and on the corner is a great big structure that could have fed how many people, could have closed how many people by the cost of it.
Right.
You are to be a witness in this time, audience.
And that doesn't mean a group of people can't have a hall and meet together in Christ. We're not talking about that. If it's raining outside or something, you might want to meet somewhere. But, that's the real church. Say, hey, we're going to meet down at the YMCA tonight or something, and we're going to have some, we're going to share the some of Christ's flesh and some of Christ's blood, and we're going to witness to each other.
And that's you, audience. You're the plain man dwelling in tents.
Or it could be at Denny's coffee shop.
And I can tell you from experience, it's very hard to find anybody in the truth.
Yes.
And in the beginning, people hate you. And they use you. And they just ask that you need to turn this thing around on them to save them. Okay? Because you are now the Bible scholar. You now are in the truth. You were blessed by the Holy Spirit to get the proper rendering of Scripture. And you study yourself approved. And when people want to discuss religion, ask them, what do you want to know about the Bible? Anything. You will have a witness, the proper rendering of Scripture, audience, because you've studied yourself approved. Not because the Joe Lunchbox crew is going over Scripture. These things will be recalled to your memory so that you may witness. This is the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will tell you the truth if you seek the truth. And when people try and witness without studying themselves approved, and they give a false testimony of gospel, it's woe unto them. So our first order of business to tend to provide you, audience, some plan of escape for all of these things, to prepare yourself for the tribulational events that are ongoing, is to go over some basic tenets and doctrines of Scripture. Because right now, it's likened unto that you're in a desert with no living water. And there is no truth in the churches, and this is this time in our generation, we're barely finding people to have the proper rendering of Scripture. And this is equated to the famine on the land. And in the New Version Bibles, they diminish the Lord's Prayer. And Brother Bill, we're going to go over the Our Father.
Right, and I'm pulling that up right now. I had it one of my windows here.
Which is, audience, this is the form of prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ provided us, that has been misinterpreted in terms of what the proper rendering is, to give you, audience, your access to our Lord by His prayer. This is the introduction to living water. This is where you actually are being led by the Holy Spirit in prayer to seek contact with your Father, to repent of your sins, and have understanding of what you're to do His will. Brother Bill?
Yes, are you ready to proceed there now, Bob, in verse 9?
Yes.
I have some interesting things I'd like to bring out in verse 9. I think the first three words are very interesting, after this manner. So this whole prayer is of His manner. And we know that there's three wills in this prayer. So He is instructing us right here, is after this manner are we to pray. So when we start praying for our own will and we start praying for our own things, we're not praying after this manner. We're not following His instructions. If we're praying for more tithing into the church so we can open up a newer church building on the south side of town, that we may be able to congregate 6,000 to 7,000 more new members there, and we'll have, new latte machines, you're not praying after this manner. And that's our instructions right to start with in verse 9.
So our first proper rendering, audience, is that it's not nothing for flesh.
Right, there's no flesh in this prayer.
None. Whatsoever. Your first prayer in the Our Father is the prayer for the will of the Father to restore thy salvation. Your salvation.
Yes.
You're communing with the Lord. This is an astonishing thing that you, who have been told through all of these lying, mingled, apostate ministries that take your money and that take people's money and misuse it and misspend it, that, you know, this is the free will of our Lord God, that He restores your salvation and not the fleshly ministries.
And right, if they were taking this money possibly and feeding the poor and exercising pure religion, as James speaks of in verse 127, I so often go to that verse in the book of James, that religion which it keeps itself unspotted from the world. And but they're not. They're spotted of the world. They're building these congregations or these structures for their own benefits, not to feed the poor, not to home the fatherless, not to visit the widow in need. They're building these things up for themselves. Now, because they're whited sepulchers and painted white on the outside, they'll maybe do a few good works. I don't know if they do this out of guilt or feeling that, am I saying that all complete evil comes out of them? No, I mean, they try. There is some will of the Father working through everybody, probably. But that's not really where their focus is, though. Their focus is in you know, I always call it goals, climbers, and builders. You got a church on the north side of town, and their goal is to build one on the south side of town. And, well, let's get the foundation going and the blueprints out, and now we're building. And pretty soon you're climbing again. And this is just, they're not doing it for the will of the Father. They're doing it for the will of man. Are many of these people just deceived? You know, yes. In their minds, they probably are believing that they're helping doing the heavy lifting for God.
Yet they will not recognize this audience until you are communing with our Lord Jesus Christ to do His will. You will not recognize this, and you become a witness. And we'll cover the witness next. Go ahead.
You know, yeah, one thing that, you know, we've touched on so many times is the 501c3 church that came out in 1954, I guess, somewhere in that area. I thought he was a Senator Johnson, but he may have been a congressman for Texas. I can't recall offhand. And, you know, these churches all weren't 501c3 in the beginning. It took them, you know, a number of decades to get to the probably, I don't know, 98 or 99% level that we are now. And they were offered carrots to come into this. You know, they threw Jesus under the bus and they answer to the state. That's where they get their marching orders from the state. They don't get their marching orders for God. And all of this was to be tax exempt. And I keep thinking back to, well, unspotted from the world, first of all, that doesn't fit with unspotted from the world. But if you really truly want to be tax exempt, everything you take in, you give to the poor. So there is no profit. It's zero profit, zero. So there's no tax on zero. You take in $20,000 if people decide to donate. You take the $20,000, you feed the poor, you house the widowless, you wind up with zero. There's nothing left. So you're not liable for any tax anyway. The only reason they want the tax thing is because they want to build the money up themselves and then keep it for themselves and evade paying the taxes. But by doing this, they obligate themselves of being under the beast. You know, there's always a catch 22 to all things, you know.
And audience, this is very, very simple, common sense things, that a nonprofit is actually a profit because it's paying its employees.
Did Paul and them have any? Paul got some donations as they traveled. Barnabas did. Barnabas just fed the poor and gave it all to the poor.
They were told. Paul was the example that everywhere he went to work with the tent makers. And that's your vocation. You know, These people have been propagating lies and cults where the end of the world scenarios are coming and this is happening and this. Okay, those people died. They drank the Kool-Aid.
Yep, the Kool-Aid. You know, you mentioned Paul being a tent maker. Well, there's a specific reason in my mind for that, that I see in Scripture, is that that's the opposite of a hireling shepherd. See, Paul wasn't a hireling shepherd. He was a tent maker. He freely gave the gospel.
Freely, audience. We don't have booked appointments for the next big Sunday show. We do this of our own heart because it's been given us to us. We give you the proper... there is no way, Bill, that I could ever say to anyone that I would be doing this 2.5 years ago.
Well, on many occasions, I have the same testimony, too. It's just no way that I never would have dreamed this in my life. It was, you know, never my desire. It was never my motivation. It was I just one day the Lord spoke to me and says, hey, listen, I have something for you I want you to do. And I'm not even sure what that is. You know, I'm thinking. And he says, I'm going to come and show you. And I was learning even for a year or two before I even had any clue that I would be doing this.
And audience, I read the Bible 3 times prior to being exposed to the third day studies. And I can say that I wanted to do the will of the Father. This praying in the proper rendering of the Our Father is very, very important because you're praying to receive our daily bread. And the Lord, He is the potter, you are the clay, He already knows your spiritual needs. So in all sincerity, you're praying to the Lord for the truth because you don't want to be deceived, because you look out on anything you watch and witness, you know that you're being lied to at some level. There's something pulling at your heart that you're like, yeah, now this world is pretty bad. And they're taking evil for good. And you have nothing more than to turn on your TV set. And it's in your living room. So the daily bread that we're talking about is the Lord providing you with your spiritual needs. And in giving us our daily bread, He's giving us the proper rendering of the Bible. Of this gospel. Bill?
Yes, give us this day our daily bread. Yes, Jesus said in John chapter 6, which John is such a marvelous book, it's quite different than the other three gospels, and yet it harmonizes completely with all the teachings of Paul. It harmonizes with the rest of the Bible. And it just puts a lot of focus on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And, you know, that's why he says you have to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. That's give us this day our daily bread in the spiritual understanding, you know. And some of those disciples then murmured amongst themselves, left and came back no more. And, you know, there is a physical manifestation working through here too as well, I think, Bob, in verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. God knows that you do live in this world. He knows that you have a stomach to feed. He knows you have a family to care for. And if you walk in His way, as they walked in the way of Moses in the wilderness, and God provided manna on it, you know, He'll provide a way through faith in Him and hand things over to Him. He will provide a way for you. And he'll provide you your spiritual bread every day, and you'll grow in the Spirit. And this will help. When you grow in the Spirit, it helps you get through the fleshly walk of this world.
And audience, when we're told in this prayer to forgive us our debts are sins and our transgressions against the Lord, not the world.
And into our brethren. And when we've transgressed our brother, yes, it's a sin unto the Lord, yes. Right.
So the true understanding is that you are a sinner because you're in the flesh. No flesh is good. We could give you, 10 different ways to cut it, and you need to get over this. Don't sin. Don't progressively sin, and don't believe them that you can't do it. Now,
All things are possible with God.
All things are possible with the Lord, audience. All things are possible. And as you forgive these trespasses, okay, that is the binding and loosening in the Spirit. And our example is our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, his words of forgive them, they know not what they do. You know, you've got people in the flesh yelling, oh, we don't care. We want the blood on our children. They got it.
Yeah. They don't know the foolish words that come out of their mouth.
And it's this part of fleshly understanding this is that if you are the temple of the Lord and you are studying yourself approved and you're understanding the proper rendering of Scripture, you are not deceived.
You know, this verse 12 also, Bob, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. There is a parable in the Scriptures, too, in Matthew, which covers all the kingdom parables, about the man that went before the king that was that owed all the debt. You know, and the king demanded to be paid, or they were going to put him in prison and his family in prison for the debt. And then the king forgave the debtor. And when the debtor goes outside, he runs into his neighbor who owes him and wants him to be arrested and thrown into prison. And he doesn't want to forgive his neighbor's debts.
Audience, that's an example. We're to forgive all. And this is a very difficult thing to do if you're just beginning this. Because you will have feelings of great hate and resentment.
Yes, the resentment is so big. The resentment's a killer. It's just an absolute killer. It eats away inside you like cancer.
And you don't know what you're resenting.
It's not the other person that gets eaten away from the resentment. It's you. That's who the real that's the real irony of resentment. It doesn't really hurt the other person. It's like a ray gun shot at a mirror. It comes right back at you.
And you just, how important is it, audience? Well, if the Lord forgive them for beating him and dragging him through the streets till he's half dead, till he can't carry his own cross, and then they brutally nail him to the cross. Just imagine the forgiveness. Just imagine that. He's the Son of God and he realizes it. I could bring legions of angels.
I could bring legions of angels. That's right. The one of the malefactors said, if thee be the Son of God, climb down from the cross and take us down too. And I'm just paraphrasing, but you know, they were tempting. The devil was still tempting Jesus right there as the Son of Man. He was tempting him right there on the cross. Because I'm sure it would have been great temptation for him to call down some angels and restore him.
Just put yourself in that place, audience.
Yeah.
What restraint do you need that you can wipe out everyone with a legion of angels?
And it is to back that up. I want to just comment that is in when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when Peter had raised the sword to cut off the ear of the centurion, and he said, "Put away the sword, Peter." He says, "Those that live by the sword die by the sword." And he says, "Don't you know that I can call down 12 legions of angels right now?"
12 legions. So scripturally, audience, if you have the proper rendering of this scripture that is telling you how to pray to our Lord God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and you are not sinning, the next thing that you need to understand is that you then begin to go from the stall, as the calf in the stall, taking on the milk of Scripture, that you wanted to read and know the truth of the gospel, and all of a sudden these proper renderings are coming out that you hear, and you go back and say this prayer, and you understand it's not a fleshly prayer, and it's an understanding of how to do the will of the Father, so that you, audience, become the shepherd. And when you are compelled to be told the truth and to study yourself approved, that's what you're likened unto, the shepherd. And who was the good shepherd? You're to emulate our Lord Jesus Christ. Bill?
Right, then we can start spiritually multiplying. And, we become learned in the word, learned in the walk. The walk is so important, too. People can look at the diseased church today, and it turns a lot of people off to, they perceive Christianity as what they view as the church. So you would take people that are maybe they're somehow seeking spiritually for the truth, and they're being misled through yoga, or they're being misled through Baha'i, or the many countless ones out there. But they kind of go these directions because they look at the church and they go, well, there's no spirituality there. I mean, I don't know what the truth is, but that's not it. And so by walking the way of Jesus Christ in your life, and letting the light in you shine through you as a vessel of the Lord. And as you know, Paul was and Peter were wonderful examples of this. It's not only the spoken word of Scripture, is they could see the Holy Spirit manifesting them in their walk, in their life. If you look at the church with any kind of spiritual eyes, you're not going to see the Holy Spirit manifested in that franchise. And when times get really tough, and when this depression or when this tribulation starts to be noticeable by these multitudes, they're going to be looking for those that are walking in the Lord, walking in the Spirit of God. It's even much more than the spoken word.
Now, you have to go back how we started the show, audience. It is not the people that don't recognize this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through this gospel, they are going to be in madness in the tribulation. Okay, it's the proper rendering is craziness.
Right, and you don't want to be there. That's why it says, "Lead me not into temptation," because it's the Lord's will that you don't be in it.
Yes, it's insanity. So the Lord provides you, and this struck me as I fear the Lord now. And one of the reasons that I understood that proper rendering of Scripture is that it's the Lord who puts the fear in your mind. Okay, the people, the serpents and scorpions, the terrors. Okay, as they go about their business, this fleshly business of stealing from people and propagating their idol worship, false religions, and the churches. And then you have the chaff that just don't care. They're storing up great wealth, and they don't look for their salvation. They're already out of the picture. They're chaff. They're going
right,
to
the chaff has no fear of the Lord. You go into a black science laboratory, and you create a GMO hybridated seed. And you know that it's probably going to kill a lot of people, but you're looking at the $25 trillion check that goes with it, and you just don't have fear of the Lord there. The chaff has no fear of the Lord. You know, even the multitude who is deceived, they have some fear of the Lord somewhere. They're, you know, they with, well, gee, I, you know, God's watching me. Maybe I shouldn't do this. But this chaff, they don't have any fear of the Lord.
None whatsoever, audience. That is what you're dealing with.
And then they'll mock the Lord on top of it. That really shows how little fear they have, or no fear. I mean, only a fool would do something like that.
And this blindness that we started off with, This is what it is. It's the idea of a film covering the eyes. It's scales covering the eyes. So
right.
Paul's another good example. Is he is out killing the Christians in the early church. He can't see this.
He can't see this, right. His spiritual eyes are blinded. And of course, when he was ran into the Lord, then his physical eyes got blinded as well. But yeah, he can't see what he's doing. He's thinking he's serving God. He'd be killing you and thinking serving the Lord.
And this is also equated, audience, to nakedness. Okay, and we know that Adam and Eve were naked and they wanted to get their, you know, they were put on a leaf. The Lord dressed them for the winter when they were going to be exiled from Eden. But this blindness is also likened unto skin as being naked. Naked standing in the valley of decision. If you can understand that.
And there's four strong winds coming, and you don't want to be naked in a four strong windstorm. Spiritual wind, you want to be fully clothed in the Ephesians 6 armor of God.
This blindness, audience, comes upon the serpents and the scorpions, the tares that are sitting next to you, everywhere you go. And you can recognize this, that the enemy can be found in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 6. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. So the tares are going to be driven insane.
That's where there's no rest. There's no rest in his sanity. That's wandering in dry places. There's no fountains of living waters there.
So, audience, we're told that here these people are they're propagating wars, they're stealing from people, they're poisoning the land. You don't have to. You can go to the four ends of the earth, and this is happening now on a global basis. You could say the Middle East, but you could go to China, and this is happening. You could go to India.
Right. It's the four corners of the earth now are the plains of Shinar. You know, this four starts all the way back in the Garden of Eden with the four rivers that ran out of Eden. They gathered four cities on the plain of Shinar. I forget the name of the four. One of them, those cities was named Babel. Four is basically tribulation. It's a signature of tribulation. And, you know, the four winds, the four sworn judgments. And then the testing for tribulation, you multiply it by the perfect number 10. You multiply 4 by the perfect number 10, and you come up with 40. And these are the test periods all throughout Scripture for tribulation, which is number 4 is tribulation, more or less.
And audience, you're getting, if you notice, as we're going through this study, you're getting confirmation Scriptures. So these confirmation Scriptures is it's not just it's two witnesses, Bill and I, but the important witnesses is you and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Bill, would you like to expand on that for our audience?
Yes, the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to guide you to truth. You know, I make mistakes from time. You know, and the Lord is going to come and he says, "Come, let us reason together." Though your sins be of scarlet, I shall make them white as snow. And it's he that really pulls. Your first witness is the written word, the declared word of God, and the Holy Spirit puts it in your heart and confirms it. He's the second witness. And I'm not God. I make mistakes. I'm human. You know, I'm mankind, number 6. I'm trying as hard as I can to stay in number 7, walk in the Lord Jesus Christ's truth. But, you know, there are things maybe that I miss a little bit in Scripture or something. I say, oh, I'll go back. You know, I didn't have the full understanding of that. Now the Lord showed me the full understanding of that. And that's come let us reason together. So, and you're going to, once you get involved with the Lord and you get an intimate relationship with the Lord, because His doctrine is so powerful. It is so powerful and it is so astonishing that, you know, there's stuff He's showing to everybody. It's so big. It's bigger than the Grand Canyon. You can get lost in this thing. And He's going to show you things that I or Bob have never seen. That's how big this book is.
I can't tell you, audience, how many people are coming to truth through the Scriptures that when they send an email or they post on a forum, if they're in the truth, how deep it is. It's deeper than you can imagine, and we want to talk about your escape. Now, we've given you the proper doctrine and rendering of the Our Father, and now we want to give you the proper spiritual understanding.
Well, I want to act real quickly there. Lead us not in temptation. That's a strong delusion that you don't want to be deceived. And deliver us from evil. Well, being delivered from evil is your escape. You can move on to escape from right there, Bob.
Absolutely, audience. Absolutely. This escape that we're trying to give you the proper map is, it's the Lord's light. The Lord is leading you through His will to study yourself approved and to have understanding of these spiritual outlay, the overlay. Because the flesh that is manifested in the churches now are in complete error and they're totally leavened. And the DVDs you've bought for years and the tapes you listen to and the radio you listen to is corrupted. So the Lord is leading you to study yourself approved. And we're told we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with spiritual principalities, spiritual understandings. And I'm going to give you the proper rendering of this, audience, because we can't see it. Despite these people that have been propagating for years that they can see spiritual things, they may, but it's of Satan. Okay, this is protecting your mind. You are the temple of the Lord, and you're to understand these things. And the prophet Elijah and his, let's call him, his apprentice, Elijah. And Elijah is surrounded by an encompassing army that is going to kill every living thing around him. And it is the will of the Father, you will find, that Elijah prays this prayer. And this is in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16. And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us," that's you, audience, who's in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who follows the Lamb wherever they go, "are more than they that be with them." So you have two people there, audience, that are standing there surrounded by, it could be 100,000 army of 100,000 with chariots and the whole an armament and battlement of the time, an army encompassing these men. And Elijah prayed, and he said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes," this is Elijah, "that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. And then they came down to him. Elijah prayed unto the Lord, and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. Audience, this man was given a spiritual look at what was surrounding Elijah the prophet spiritually. We're told that this is a war in the spirit. There's angels involved. There's Satan involved. There's fallen angels. Every manifestation of deception is upon the land right now. And the Lord gave us a glimpse. And Elijah was encompassed with an army of the Lord.
You can see, he counted himself worthy that he should escape all things. And we transfer that whole situation of Elijah to us today in the spiritual. And we have power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And that we be accounted worthy to escape all things.
And it's important to look at where Elijah was. He was in the mountains. The spiritual mountain audience. With the Lord.
On the right side of the Plumb Line Mountain.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, you can find all that information on our website, audience. All of these studies have study notes. They have scripture upon scripture. And we ask you to study yourself approved. Because in this escape study, we're trying to give you the proper stand. Okay, when you see the abomination of desolation, okay, we're sitting in holy space, holy places, spiritually.
Yeah, our spirits have been quickened.
We're told to stand. Stand in the holy place. You are the temple of the Lord, audience. The battle is at your gate to your mind.
Can I comment very quickly on that, Bob?
Absolutely,
brother. It's quickened in the spirit, seated in holy places. Heavenly places, excuse me. That's in the kingdom now of Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual kingdom. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. And yet man keeps seeking the kingdom in the world. But we are seated in heavenly places. Now we're told to stand in the gate. This is the awakening of the five wise virgins. We're awakened now. We have oil in our lamps and we're to stand.
And we are, audience, telling you to stand. The proper rendering of scriptures is applied to the tribulation is a quickening. And for the past, since July, our shows have taken you through the church movements to show the fleshly corruptions, the basic renderings of scriptures, and then we've been drilling down now more on our shows as to what the will of the Father is and how to prepare you to do the will of the Father. Because if you're not prepared for the tribulation, if you're not in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are you're likened unto a multitude of people that are surrounded. And they're surrounded by
serpents. Yeah, Jerusalem encompassed by armies. He says when you see these Judea encompassed by armies, and it's when you see, the multitudes don't see the army encompassing them right now. But as you wake up and stand in the Lord Jesus Christ and stand, standing in the gate, you are going to see Jerusalem encompassed by armies.
An audience, in telling you to stand, remember Jesus, he gave his apostles rest. He set his apostles down. There's many instances of scripture where he's setting them down, sit down. Have the people sit down, have the multitude sit down. I'm going to feed them. So he manifests an analogy for us of fish and bread. And he feeds 5,000. And if you drill down on that, Brother Bill had a very good study that it was probably 20,000, huh, Bill?
Yes, it says not counting women and children. So, yes, it was probably more likely. Were there some bachelors there? Probably. But my guess is quite a few of them had women and children. And so you could be easily looking at 20 or 25,000 people. Boy, when that news got back to the Pharisees, were they grinding teeth, huh?
A miracle of feeding is an analogy to us, audience. The Lord is going to feed you, and you are to sit down. You are to study yourself approved by following these scriptures and understanding the scriptures, not of men teaching you, but of yourself in the Holy Spirit.
And when that fragments were gathered, they made sure that none were lost, and there was 12 baskets of those 12 disciples that participated there. And, that's 144, 12 times 12. And in the end days, this same event is going to happen again. The Spirit of God is going to inhabit His servants, the prophets, these 144,000, and they are going to feed, once again, the people, spiritually feed people the truth. And this word is going to get back to the churches, and the churches, just like then, the synagogues then, or the religious structures then, are going to be grinding their teeth, saying, how did you people learn this truth?
Because
it's going to all repeat over again.
Yes. And not only repeat over again, but think common sense, audience. How many people will go to church when they know the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ is found in His salvation through the study of His scriptures and being a clean vessel for the Lord to use to feed the multitude of people?
That's right. You're clean on the inside of the cup. And, the outside of the cup might be a little ragged and tarred and maybe a little soiled. But the inside of the cup is what matters. So when you come to these truths, and you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you're walking in Jesus Christ and walking in the truth, and the inside of your cup starts becoming clean, you're not going to go back to this other place that has the outside of the cup clean. That's your whited sepulcher. It's the flip-flop of your whited sepulcher. But it's the same story. They keep the outside of their cup very nice and clean. And so once you're cleaned out on the inside, you got no desire to go back there. And then when you start spiritually multiplying, because people see your walk, they see the way you live, they see God in you, they see the presence and the Spirit of God flowing out of you, and it doesn't have to be all when you're preaching the gospel. It's just in the way that you're living your life, in the way that you're conducting yourself, in the way that you're abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you start shining with that light of God in you, in your walk of life, and people see that. And they're going to say, I don't see that over there in that Church of the Southwest Baptist or whatever name that you want to put on it. They go, I don't really see that. I'm seeing a lot of divorces in those churches. I'm seeing a lot of greed there. I'm seeing a lot of strife and anger. I'm seeing a lot of barbecues. But I'm not really seeing the Spirit of God in that organization. See, these things will show in the end days when the multitude does start waking up.
Yes, and you are told, audience. Okay, you're told to stand. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, go through this scripture to explain exactly the proper rendering of this scripture for you, that have to stand, and you have to stand in the light of our Lord Jesus Christ to do His will. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate, concerning the faith. That's all your church's audience. That's what's out there right now.
I'm sorry, Bob. 2 Timothy, what are you in?
Chapter 3, verse 8.
Oh, thank you very much.
So, they resist to do the will of the Lord because they're in the flesh, audience. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. With what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivereth me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and their seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All the Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, audience, we're conveying to you the truth of Scripture, that it's an inspiration of God, and it is profitable for you to read this doctrine, to read your Bible, for reproof. And that reproof, audience, is that's your conviction, that's your evidence, and that's irrefutable. When they come to you with these false doctrines, the proper rendering of the tread on serpents and scorpions is that you stand in the truth and you know your gospel. And I can assure you, audience, if you study yourself approved and you pray as you were taught to pray by our Lord Jesus Christ, this reproof will be from the Holy Spirit bringing to memory these Scriptures that you studied. As Brother Bill has been an example for this whole show, he is correlating the Scriptures, Scripture upon Scripture. Not a jot or a tittle has been changed. So that the treading on serpents and scorpions is that you can correct them. They may not listen, but you can correct. And the people that will listen, that's for you to instruct them in righteousness. Brother Bill?
Yes. One word that jumps out big at me there that you were just reading in Timothy is verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Been assured of. That's conviction in the spirit of the Holy, a conviction in your heart of the Holy Spirit. But I just focus so big on the word continue there. This is the overcoming. That's the one that endureth to the end. And if you'll notice in Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, and they received the Holy Spirit, they were convicted in the heart, and it says they all continued in one accord. There's that word continued again.
And drilling down on continued, Bill, it is a primary verb to stay in a given place. You're the temple of the Lord, audience. If you continue, you're going to stay in the temple of the Lord.
Does that sound like standing in the gate?
Yes. It's a state. It's a relation. It's to abide, continue to dwell, endure, be present, remain, to stand, to tarry. And extendedly, it's thy own. You are the temple of the Lord, audience. You are to endure these things. You are to continue in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, to serve him, to do his will in the times of tribulation.
And Moses continued. You know, Moses was drawn out of Egypt and, you know, into the wilderness for 40 years. Who would have known when Moses went into the wilderness, he had no idea, I'm sure, that God was preparing him to come back to Egypt and do a job that, have God work through him. And he endureth to do all through that. He continued through all, Moses in the first 40 years and in the second 40 year, when they were in the wilderness. He, long continuation there of that's why the Bible says Moses was mankind goes was the meekest man there ever was or ever will be.
And that's important, audience, that our example of Moses in being his meekness.
I mean, he wasn't Jesus, but the Bible says as far as just men go, he was the meekest man there was.
And it's all about your tongue, audience.
And it was his walk, his continuing, his enduring. I mean, Moses endured. I could just imagine, oh my gosh, here's a man that's rich, lived for 40 years in Egypt. Exalted, to high, I think, generalship or something. They had maybe battles with.
He was preparing to be Pharaoh.
Yeah.
And now, a living God
and
in the flesh.
Right. And now a living fleshly God. Right. And now he's lost everything and cast into the wilderness, cast into the pit like Moses. Actually, similar to being cast into the pit like Joseph was. Only thing, Joseph didn't start out with all the riches. And then, actually, the stories are reversed because, Joseph started out and then he was raised up in Egypt doing the will of God for God's purposes at that time. And then Moses, being raised up in Egypt, having everything, now he was taken, all that was taken away from him. I imagine that Moses' trials were unbelievable. I could just imagine.
And he endured.
He endured. He continued, right. One foot in front of the next foot.
Now let's talk, audience, who didn't continue. Jannes and Jambres came against, they withstood Moses. Okay, so you could say they're serpents and scorpions.
There's two right there. It's always two, Bob. Jannes and Jambres. It's always two.
Two-thirds cut off.
Two factions of two evil.
Two factions of evil, which are terrors, audience.
Right.
And then Moses, who's tried through all tribulation of his own, tried as silver and gold, and continues, he endures, he is standing in the holy place. And his fleshly stuff is taken away, which is happening in the world right now.
Yep.
And he continues, and he suffers persecution from his own people, and these two that were leading the rebellion, they are taken care of by the Lord. They are put to death.
And even when Moses came to take them out of Egypt there, and it took quite a bit of Pharaoh's hardening of his heart to let him go, but And Moses comes back, and they wound up having to go get their own straw, so they don't like Moses there now.
Yeah, and Moses knows.
By his own people.
Imagine, audience, just put yourself as a man that has everything that's going to be God. You're going to be physically, you're going to be Pharaoh. What's Pharaoh got in store for him? Anything Pharaoh wants from anywhere in the kingdom. At any time.
That's right, any time. And then he goes from that of 40 years and then back onto Mount Sinai. And he's on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible says, without food or water. I had checked that, I think, recently. I thought, okay, he was there for 40 days without food. But I'm almost positive it says he was without food and water also. So you better be filled with the Spirit of God to do that. And that's why he came down with his face was glowing.
Yes, which is a, the proper rendering of that, audience, is that they had to put a veil over Moses when he came down from the mountain after communing with God. His glory, the Lord God glory was in Moses. Were physically manifesting, he was a light unto the world. He was glowing. That's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, with so much light that they had to put a veil over his face, right? Because the multitudes there couldn't handle so much light at one time, even.
No, it's a telling story audience for you to understand this endurance, for Bill and I to give a proper rendering of the continuance to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to do the will of the Father. And this, for this purpose, it is to understand that you are to learn how to escape these things, to not be deceived, to have the understanding of the Lord how to proceed through His gospel. Bill?
Absolutely. The Holy Christ in you and this gospel. You know, it talks a lot in Scripture about this gospel. Paul says, if anyone come to you and preach another gospel than the one we preached. He didn't say the two that we preached or the three or the few that we have preached. He says the one that we've preached. Let them be accursed. Because, yes, there is only one gospel. And the Lord is not going to hide that gospel from you if you want it. If you desire that gospel, you go to Him, you seek Him. You seek Him in intimacy. You have communion with Him. And He will gather unto you. And He says He's going to send His Comforter, which will leave. Well, He says the Comforter will never leave you. And He says, I will send you a Comforter and He will bring all things to your remembrance. And that's Bob and I, what we know. We don't know nothing. We don't know anything. It's the Holy Spirit that's brought us to our remembrance through the witness of the Word of God. The first witness, the Word of God. The second is the Holy Spirit witness. He's caused all of this to bring it to our remembrance. We don't know anything. We're just of a carnal mind.
And in part two, audience, we are going to cover the principal scriptures to lead to the proper rendering of the escape. And in doing so, we hope that we outlay to you the very scriptures that the world is not wanting you to look at. It's the very scriptures of our Lord Jesus Christ to do His will. This is Bob Garrity for Bill Johnson. Thank you and good night.
Smells so sweeter down in the valley where the river used to be. I got my mind on eternity.